Hello and welcome to All Villa No Filler, a podcast all about Aston Villa, the world's greatest football team. And by Prince George, did Villa prove they really are the world's best team with a 2-0 win away at Arsenal, completing a league double over the Gunners. What an incredible result. Plus, later in the show, Frankie douses me in hot sauce as he poses yet another of his spicy questions. First things first, Frankie, how are you?
Well, what are you feeling?
Because I know you were saying at the head of the show, physically, not very well, but spiritually, you know, emotionally, you must be feeling on top of the world.
I tell you what, I've been feeling terrible, George, all weekend, but I think I know what the cure for the common cold is, and it's Unai Emery's Aston Villa beating Arsenal 2-0 away from home.
You can forget your paracetamols, your ibuprofens. I just need a dose of a Villa win. And I feel right as rain.
I just need to see a picture of Unai Emery looking happy, or Ollie Watkins running away celebrating a goal. And my horrible cold that I cannot get rid of is what cures me. I've got a famous grouse right with me, just to, you know, to get through it. The whiskey with me. I've also got a tea, and I've got a water. I've got everything to try and get me through this podcast.
All the liquids.
I was sort of planning today, I was thinking like Arsenal way, it's not going to go great, is it? And then as soon as I saw the result it was, watching that, I was like, well, there's no way I'm not doing a podcast tonight because I've got to do this. I've got to get through it. Was it Craig David? We've got to get through this.
It was Craig David, yeah.
But look, what an absolutely unbelievable win, George. I mean, you know, We under Unai Emery, we have witnessed some absolutely incredible performances. I think to the Newcastle 3-0, the Man City 1-0, the Man United 3-1, the Arsenal 1-0 at home. Just performances that, you know, we've not really seen at Villa for such a long time.
Yeah. I haven't seen at Villa. No. You know, for me, this kind of all goes beyond what I've seen a Villa team do over the course of a season. I mean, yeah, over the course of a couple of seasons, you might here and there get these sort of like anomalous results, which don't really have a huge bearing on where we end up finishing in a season. Yeah. But this is consistently beating good teams over the course of one season or a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
It's unparalleled as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly that, George. And, you know, you think back on great results, you think of like, let's say when we beat Blackburn 6-4. Right, amazing, in the semi-final of the Carabao Cup, lost in the final. Beat Liverpool 2-1 in the FA Cup semi-final back in 2015. Again, great when they lost 4-0 against Arsenal in the final. As you say, these results are like symptomatic of not just like a freak result in which we all celebrate and remember forever and then go and lose 3-0 the next week at, you know, Wigan or something. It's like, this is symptomatic of the team we are. This is what we're capable of. And watching Villa today, you always hear about the talk about Thursday to Sunday football, right? That's how difficult it is. Aston Villa have not played European football from 15 years, like 14, 13, 15 years. It's been that long. So we have no recent history of like these sorts of fixtures and games. We've just gone and played a really, really tough game on Thursday night against Lille. We've got a whole load of players suspended. We've got a whole load of players injured. We don't have Kamara. We don't have Luiz, our traditional centre midfield. Yeah. All season we've been doing that Mings without Buendia. We've barely ever been able to play our first 11. We've barely been able to play our first, like, our main strength fullbacks or centre-backs, sorry, defence, everything. And despite all of that, Unai Emery somehow has masterminded us to be not just fourth in the table, but in April, having just played a really tough game against Lille on Thursday night and 1-2-1, to follow that up 3 days later, away at, you know, possibly the best team in the country, Man City probably are it now, but Arsenal, to follow that up with a dominant, convincing 2-0 win that could have been 3 or 4-0, it beggars belief, George. Like, I feel reborn. I feel like, you know, I've entered like the Buddhist faith, and I've just died and been reborn as something.
You're in Valhalla now, Frankie. I'm in Valhalla. You're drinking mead with Odin.
Yeah.
Right now.
Like, and I feel like Loki's just played a trick on me and said, "Hey, look, Villa just won 2-0 at Arsenal." I'm like, "Oh, really?" And then he goes, "No," and shows me the video. And it's like we lost 5-0, and I'm like, "Oh, well, that makes more sense." But it's unbelievable. Like,
I know.
Unai Emery is Thor's hammer of a manager. He's just George, astonishing.
Yeah, it was. And I watched obviously a lot of games this season. I think I watched all the games this season. And you know, the Man City win at home was incredibly impressive. But there was some, you know, the atmosphere of the night, and we know how good we are. Night games, Villa Park, they something about those games, we tend to sort of, you know, raise the levels. But in many ways, this one impressed me more. I think individually, every player was superb. And there's a couple of like standout mentions I want to sort of bring to the table. Zaniolo, you know, coming in, starting the game. You know, he's probably the name on the team sheet you'd look at and would naturally think, oh, possibly a weak link. He's been in good form recently, but
He
you would
has, no,
think,
he's been playing
okay,
a lot
well,
better recently.
that left side of the pitch could be potentially exploited. And he was phenomenal. His
He was.
ability to get round players, he was causing, you know, the
Ben
Arsenal
White.
defense, Ben White, he's had a brilliant season for Arsenal, all sorts of problems. You know, Ben White having to pull his shirt back, picking up a yellow card because Zaniolo was skipping past him, all that sort of stuff. And he was doing it, you know, the entire game. Absolutely brilliant. And we've gone from, I mean, he's had a huge turnaround. It's like Matthew McConaughey's acting career. You know, in the space
The
of
reconnaissance.
the reconnaissance, in the space of literally 2 months, he has just become this sort of gem that clearly Emery and Monchi had seen. And, you know, we've talked about his injury problems in the past, and we talked about, you know, his injury problems at Villa being in and out the side. It's happened actually to a lot of Villa players. If you talk about Leon Bailey, you talk about even, you know, Moussa Diaby at times this season, out with, you know, bad form, injuries, whatever, just disrupting their season. But they've come back, and there's something about the character of all of those players that they've just managed to turn it on when we've needed them. Zaniolo's come in, you know, scored some really important goals for us. You know, got us that point at West Ham, got us that point at Sheffield United when we looked like we, you know, we're going to lose that one remarkably. And today was just brilliant. And I think, you know, I'm thinking if a deal can be done for him, I think we should start to consider that now, because you look at his age, I do. Maybe that should be the spicy question, Frankie. And there might be some Villa fans that think, you know, we could improve on that. But I think there is a proper gem there, a player. And I think if he starts to play more regularly, he's got something else about him. You know, he's not like any other winger that we have. He's physical. You know, there's not too many players that look like him that play in that sort of position. I think he's got, you know, he's versatile. I think there's something about him that's definitely worth exploring. And he's absolutely the sort of player I think that if we do decide not to sign, he'll go somewhere else and be brilliant. I really do. So I think, you know, that does need to be considered in the summer. Morgan Rodgers, again, a
My
player that we
goodness.
brought in January from Middlesbrough. A lot of Villa fans would have
We
looked at him and
had there
thought,
was a podcast, a high profile championship
yeah,
podcast
I
out
know.
there
Yeah,
saying Villa
you
had had
mentioned
their
this.
pants pulled down.
Yeah.
If you've watched him for the last four games, you'd say, I tell you what, bloody Spotify needs to go pull the pants down of that podcast and pull them off the air for life. Because what the he's been absolutely brilliant to the point
Yeah.
where I've been watching him recently and going like, is this guy one day going to be the heir to Ollie Watkins?
Yeah.
That's how good he is.
He looks, I mean, he
He's
looks
been
a bit like him.
fantastic. It does a bit actually,
But
yeah.
yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant. You know, coming in from a team of the Championship in January to a team battling for the Champions League, and he's taken to it like a duck to water. You
And
know, there's
playing in Europe against Lille on
and
Thursday
playing in
night, and he
Europe. Yeah,
looked
I mean,
absolutely comfortable.
he
He was
must be having
brilliant.
an absolutely incredible
He's
time of things
quality.
at the moment. He comes to his boyhood club, and he's thrown into it at the knife edge of the season, playing in Europe, playing in competitive games in Europe, playing against the best sides in Europe and in England in Arsenal, and putting in a performance like he did today. Absolutely incredible. I mean, everybody to a man was brilliant. The last player I want to pick out though, Diego Carlos at the back. I think he was man of the match in the end, officially. But Diego, he's just, he had a brilliant game. He showed a side to him today, which I haven't really seen that much. Like he has got a bit of pace about him.
There were a couple of times when
Arsenal played balls over the top, which has been a long-standing weakness of Unai Emery's way of playing. We get that. Those are the risks that are involved in playing the way that we do. But when those balls were played over the top and there was a bit of a risk of a one-on-one, he was covering superbly, timing his challenges impeccably. And then just as we know, his physical abilities are unparalleled. Just getting in the way of shots, crosses, blocks, just phenomenal. And just fully deserving of that clean sheet, as well as the rest of the defence. But those three for me, Rodgers, Aniolo, Martinez as well, I think, was well for his save against Trossard. But those three, Carlos, Zaniolo and Rodgers, were just superb.
Do you remember the wrestler, the Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah.
That's what Diego Carlos is. Like, I can see him coming down and just with the ropes, like banging them up and down. He's got the tassels around his arms. Yeah. He's built like the Ultimate Warrior.
He is.
If he'd been at WrestleMania last week, he'd have beaten Roman Reigns after 4 years, and it wouldn't have taken bloody The Undertaker to get involved. Carlos would have won within 2 minutes. And we'd all be like, well, I just paid 50 quid for that bloody pay-per-view, and Carlos won it within seconds. Carlos is something. He was fantastic first half, particularly because first half Arsenal were, I thought we held them off well. I thought we defended really well, and I think that on the counter we had one or two moments we could have done a bit better.
Yeah,
you know, Watkins,
but we looked threat. We did look threatening.
We did look threatening, but Watkins was crazy unlucky to hit the post, and the ball bounces back out and goes out for a goal kick. Like, crazy for that to go out. But it did kind of feel in the first half like there were a lot of moments with Odegaard and Saka in the first 25 to 30 minutes where I thought, bloody hell, like it's going to be hard to hold them off. And Saka, you know, came close again.
Yeah.
And then after Watkins hit the post, Trossard has that chance, and Emi Martinez shows why he's the best goalkeeper in the world. How often do you hear these bloody pundits go, Alisson's the best goalkeeper in the world. Alisson and Edison, they're the best two. And you're like, and I do the Scouse accent because I think you know who you're impersonating here. It's always the same bloody like pundits we hear all the time. It's not that I dislike them. I think a lot of these pundits are great. But I just cannot help but think that because of the clubs they're formerly associated with, Aston Villa does just get a little bit overlooked or diminished. And like, it's not, there's a reason so many Villa fans feel this. It's not because we're dreaming it. It's because it's an actual practical fact. You know, like back in February, was it Gary Neville, who again I think is a brilliant pundit? Was it him after we lost to United said Villa are done? You know, is it Villa are done? I'm sure he said it on the overlap. Or you've got like, you know, Callagher or Jamie Redknapp, like bloody, last week saying, you know, Tottenham, if they don't get top four, don't get Champions League, it's a disaster, all this stuff. It always just feels like Villa are a little bit of an afterthought. Or, you know, like as if like it's a little bit of a freak scenario that we are where we are. You know, it's like, and part of it is probably because so few of these ex-pundits have any Aston Villa background. So how often do I listen to wider podcasts, right? And again, lots of brilliant podcasts out there, brilliant football podcasts, non-Villa podcasts, but they'll talk about like, well, Villa aren't quite in form at the moment. Yeah, or something, they weren't quite that good the other day. And he completely doesn't mention the fact that, like I said, there's no Kamara. We haven't got a CDM. He's out for the season. We've had like so many of our players consistently bloody injured for so long this season. We've had like Emery's not been able to play the same back four like 100 million times this season. The amount of things this year that Emery has had to work through, and as he says, no excuse culture. And we saw that again today.
Yeah,
like he's got that. The he's got all these players in today, and he's got no Kamara, no Luiz, and he puts Tielemans and McGinn in centre midfield, and they were both absolutely fantastic. McGinn, I think McGinn did a quietly brilliant job today in the sense it wasn't like showy. It wasn't like, you know, the booty sticking his, you know, his big Beyonce bum into everyone's, you know, like shaking him around as if it's like, put a ring on it or whatever it's, you know, the Beyonce songs are. It was literally just like gets the ball and he just turns in the correct direction and makes the right pass. All the time he kept doing it. Tielemans, again, his intelligence with the ball, again, under pressure, the amount of times our defence, Arsenal, were pressing, And our defence never panicked, ever, not once. They held onto the ball. They believed in themselves because Unai Emery just instilled that belief in them. Yeah. And then they would find that midfielder. And, you know, you panic in your head thinking, like, there's probably a bunch of dads at 11-a-side football in Birmingham City Centre screaming at kids to kick the ball forward, kick it long, get rid of it, blah, blah, blah. Instead, today, the midfielders get the ball back to goal. Declan Rice, one of the best centre midfielders in world football, on the back. And what? And McGinn and Tielemans, the two of them, work a bit of space and a simple pass. And then it's a long ball into Watkins, who tries to work it, or to Morgan Rogers or to Zaniolo. It just an absolute tactical masterclass from Unai Emery. But not just Unai Emery, the players fulfilling what he's clearly coached them to do. Showing that confidence to be comfortable on the ball, despite Arsenal's, you know, quite ferocious press at times, beating players like Rice, it was absolutely fantastic. It just fantastic. And, you know, first off, we were under the cosh a fair bit, and that's where I think Diego Carlos really shone. I thought it was fantastic. I think Luca Dean did a good job as well, because Odegaard and Saka, I think, down that side were really causing problems first half. But the second half, the way we just sort of took control of the game, kept playing our game, kept hold of the ball, didn't let Arsenal get into our heads, and then we got into their heads, you know, conversely. It was just an absolutely miracle performance. Yeah. And I give 10 out of 10 to every single player. The subs who came on, the players are on the pitch, everyone doing their defensive duty, everyone doing what they had to do in attack. It was symbolic of what it is under Unai Emery at Villa, in that, you know, we hear, you know, we think of that all the time, of the Villa of old. The Villa of old can't do this. The Villa of old would do this. The Villa of old would bottle it here. You know, like when Brentford came back to 3-2, the Villa of old lose 5-2. Instead, we come back and we draw 3-3. Today, the Villa of old, do we comfortably play it around at the back with Arsenal putting us under pressure? Play it into McGinn, play it into Tielemans, with Rice putting them under pressure? I don't think we do that. I think the Villa of old caves in and we lose 3-0. But the Unai Emery Aston Villa doesn't do that. And we're mature, we hold off, we have a defensive masterclass, and then we wait for our moment when Arsenal get tired, the concentration goes, and we pick out those two goals like we did. George, like, honestly, if you were here in person, I would hug you, and I dare say I'd probably kiss you. That's how happy I am.
And that is the All Villa and Villa podcast for this evening. It was absolutely, yeah. It was. I mean, the amount of times we were playing out from the back, and it was just neat, specific, as you say, completely unpanicked, calm football, to get out from the back quickly to get past, you know, the Arsenal press was just, yeah, phenomenal. It's a brand of football I've never seen Villa play. It's same. With players in terms of their quality that I've never seen wear a Villa shirt before.
Yeah.
You know, 1 to 11 through the, you know, front to back, they're just all quality players. And as you say, we've been decimated by injury, but regardless, the 11 that played today, brilliant, absolutely brilliant footballers.
No excuse, and, culture.
Yeah. And I think that's great. And I think that's what needs to be in place, because every club has, you know, at one part in a season will have problems like we've had kind of pretty much all season. So for us to say that we're the exception is just not true. You know, Spurs, Newcastle, I mean, been ravaged by injury pretty much all year as well. So, you know, let's take that off the table. And let's just concentrate on ourselves and the tools that we do have available to work with. And clearly the tools that we have available are very, very good. So we've got obviously a few more games left to play. I think 5 or 6 now. With 3 points clear of Spurs in fourth. I know if you're talking about the coefficient, the English clubs took a bigger battering.
Coefficient FC. Well, apart from Villa, we're the only ones that did it.
Apart from us.
I turned into Delia Smith. Oh, you know that? You remember when she was at Norwich at halftime? Where are you?
Where are you?
Leicester Avenue. I was like, that's all the other English clubs. I was like, where are you?
I know. Shocking. Poor old
Tottenham aren't going to get Champions League now.
I know.
But I will say that we haven't talked about the goals though, George. I mean, what did you think of the goals?
I mean, just brilliant. I mean, again, poaching, the perfect poacher's finish, lurking at the back post, kind of waiting for that cross to come in, and no one was marking him. And, you know, tight finish, but, you know, he never in doubt, really, with Bailey's form this season. He was always getting out on target and just the power took it past Raya. And then Watkins, geez, what a goal that was. Just, again, using his pace, his skill, and just the cheek of it to kind of like lift it over Raya. And yeah, it might have taken a deflection off Smith Rowe perhaps, but that was always his intention to dink it over him. And that's 19 Premier League goals this season.
And he hasn't taken a penalty all season.
Hasn't taken a penalty. Just phenomenal. And no doubt he'll get past that 20 goal mark now with a few games left of the season to go. I think it's 26 in all competitions now.
Right.
10 assists. I mean, you just run out of words to describe how, what he's done for us this season. Just...
Emi Martinez said he's up there. He should be player of the season. In the post-match interview, and it's true. Like, I've been thinking about this: who is player of the season in the Premier League? And I'm like, I think Watkins genuinely, like,
well, he's one goal off Haaland now in the race for the Golden Boot. You know, Isak scored a brace, and he's up there as well.
Yeah.
But you know, we can't, you know, can't rule him out of that. And you think, you know, if he gets the Golden Boot, a Villa player getting a Golden Boot, by the way, how mad would that be? And if he does, even if he doesn't, I think all that needs to be taken into consideration. Yeah, I mean, he's just been phenomenal, and it's been a bit frustrating. And I hate, we've talked about this before about sort of Twitter being just a nonsense thing, but the sort of teams of the season have started to emerge. I've noticed from various kind of football accounts, and very rarely do I see a Villa player in there.
Uh-huh.
Despite where we are.
Again, it's the Villa overlooked thing.
And I get it. You know, I kind of feel like, you know, we do have standout players, we do, but we don't have kind of like world beating individuals. We are, you know, the sum of our parts is our strength.
I think Bailey, Watkins, Luiz, and
I think we do, but I also think that we do play very well as a team. We don't rely on individuals like,
yeah, that's fair.
You know, Liverpool do perhaps a little bit with Salah, you know, to score the goals. But you know, but then saying that, Watkins is our Salah. Watkins scores all
kind
our
of his
goals
and the assists as well. Yeah,
yeah, and so you know, it's just rubbish. So I do kind of feel that way, and I don't want to go all conspiratorial and say that, you know,
someone shot JFK from the grassy knoll.
Yeah, the Illuminati are behind the sort of like anti-Villa bias, but it is slightly frustrating when you do see like a team of the season and all of our players seem to be completely disregarded. I mean, we're fourth on the table, and there's players from Chelsea in there, like Cole Palmer, who's obviously had a good season, but
and scored like a million penalties.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. So you know, but whatever. It's kind of like all that is kind of just noise. And ultimately, the only thing that matters is the league and the actual league and the actual team, rather than anything sort of fancy.
And Villa should use it as fuel, use it as a siege mentality to help drive us on even further. Because I agree. I just think it's objectively true. I really do that. Like, Villa are always overlooked and diminished. And if we can use that as a fuel to just keep going, then brilliant. Because as Villa fans, you know, we saw it all the way back with Jack Grealish, when we all knew Jack Grealish was an incredible football player. And for years, we had to listen to this bollocks that, oh, no, he's not that good. He's a bit of a show off. And like, eventually, Pep Guardiola goes, well, he's a £100 million player. Let's spend that on him. Oh, and guess what? They're now going, you know, we're not idiots. We all see what we're seeing with our own eyes, and eventually the rest of the world has to catch up with that. And I'm delighted that Villa are the ones proving them all wrong at this moment. But those two goals, like you know, like Zaniolo was fantastic all day, but Moreno coming on, playing on that left wing role, how hilarious was it that our two left backs worked so well together to set up the first goal? You know, it was Moreno passes it nicely, way too perfect, into Dean breaks the Arsenal line, whips it across, and there's Pau Torres.
Yeah.
Randomly, what was going on here?
Yeah.
Gets in front of their defender, goes all the way across, and Leon Bailey with a brilliant fit. As soon as I saw Bailey close in, I thought, he's going to score this.
Yeah.
And he did. And, you know, it was crazy unlucky that we weren't already 1-0 up through Yuri Tielemans anyway. Mm. When he hit the crossbar and post, and Watkins, when he hit the post, it bounced out. And when you saw those two things happen, you thought, Arsenal's going to get a late winner through a corner or something mad. Instead, you know, Bailey gets that. And then, you know, Arsenal start trying to apply the pressure, and instead Tielemans with that ball to Watkins was just, what a ball it was. And it summed up Tielemans' day. I thought he was fantastic. Yeah. Across
all forward, of them were 10 out of 10. Really.
All of them. And a ball forward to Watkins, and Watkins showing what a striker he is. As soon as he got it, I thought, he's got this. He's going to do it. Times it perfectly. And the Watkins we remember a couple of years ago when we first started this podcast might have, you know, rushed it, or he might have just hit it straight at the keeper.
Yeah.
Or he might have tried to take it round and put it too far and maybe missed the chance. Instead, now you always just think, nah, he's going to score it. And to chip it the way it did, time it the way it did, it was just world-class striker play. And, you know, there's all this debate, like, should Southgate take Ivan Toney? Should he take Ollie Watkins? What debate is there? There's no debate. Yeah. Ollie Watkins is like, he's a first-class ticket on the plane. If you put him in business class, if I'm Ollie Watkins, I'm saying, nah, I'm off the plane, mate. I'm not even starting. What, Southgate has to put him in first class? Him and Harry Kane at the front of the plane getting the feet massaged, you know, and getting like bloody, I don't know, like the toenails painted or something, whatever it is that makes them feel happy, because they're, you know, the two of them straight to Germany for the Euros, absolutely. And, you know, look, I mean, Villa's performance today, truly one of the best I've ever seen from Villa, away from home, at one of the best teams in the world at Arsenal, the way they've been playing recently. I've been full of praise to them. I think they've been a brilliant side this season. But that from Villa was just an absolute tactical masterclass. Driven by a group of players who truly believe in a coach who is truly, truly elite. All Villa, No Filler on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back, everybody. Now it's time for this.
I'm Ian George, on the verge of a dramatic fallout, like, I don't know, Romulus and Remus when they fell out over that whole City of Rome thing. So, George, look, we beat Lille 2-1 at home at Villa Park on Thursday night. It was a tough old game, wasn't it? You know, they're a good side, Lille, but we got the win. But we go to their place on Thursday. Are you confident of Aston Villa getting through that game and getting to the semi-finals of the Conference League?
Oh, well, you know, it is going to be tricky. You know, we haven't actually talked about the Conference League that much on this podcast. We tend to sort of focus a bit more on the Premier League, but it was a really tricky game on Thursday. I think, you know, particularly in the second half, Lille sort of came into their own and were passing the ball about really nicely. They've clearly got some very good technical players.
I do.
They're very well coached. To be honest, you know, obviously it would have been great going to France with a 2-0 lead, but they got the goal. I think their performance warranted at Villa Park, and I think they'll probably be disappointed to have not taken something from Birmingham. So in many ways we were slightly lucky to get the win, but you know, ultimately we were in the positions to score the goals that we did. And and so it's great that we go to Lille with a win. It's going to be really hard. They have an incredible home record, Lille. I think they've gone over 30 games at home unbeaten. Right. They won last night, I think, at home in the French league. So you know, they're a team obviously at home that are going to be really, really difficult to kind of break down and beat. It's going to be a vociferous atmosphere, I'm sure. They'll be thinking, given how well they played at Villa Park, that they've got an opportunity now to progress in the competition. And obviously, if you think about us, will we have expended so much energy in our performance today? Is that going to have an impact on Thursday? I don't think we picked up another injury. I think, you know, Zaniolo seemed to go down a couple of times. So, you know, we'll have to see how some of the players are getting on for Thursday. I think from my perspective, going into that game off the back of that performance against Arsenal could be nothing but a good thing. I think it's a hell of a confidence boost. You know, the fact that we put in such a effort against Lille last Thursday to then go to the Emirates and perform the way that we did against Arsenal, shows that we can do the whole Thursday, Sunday, Thursday thing.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, it's incredible, but we're doing it. And as we've said multiple times, we've got the manager who is the master of managing that sort of routine. So I would expect to see a couple of changes just to keep the squad fresh. But I think the key to it, Frankie, is not to concede early. You know, if we do concede, and I think we will do, I think if we restrict Lille and try and frustrate them and try and maybe do something on the break the way that we kind of did against Arsenal really today, then I think that's our best chance of success. And certainly if we get the first goal in the game, that will hopefully sort of quiet the crowd down and we can sort of just control the game. I mean, Emery is all about control, isn't he, of course? So controlling the game is key. And we've got the players to do it, clearly. We've got a fantastic squad of players. I think we can do it. I think we will do it. So yeah, I'm gonna say yes, Frankie. What are your thoughts? You were there, of course. You were at Villa Park, you saw the game, didn't you?
It was a fantastic the atmosphere was absolutely unbelievable, like to the point where my ears were aching from the noise that was coming out from the entire ground. And you know, how often have you said about, you know, Villa Park, I think growing up was atmosphere-wise wasn't brilliant through the 90s. Well, 90s was good, but 2000s have been a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere in the recent years, I think, has definitely got a lot better. It's interesting to hear a lot of younger fans saying the atmosphere isn't great, because I'm like, oh, it's a lot better than it was in 2002 when I'd be sat there and there'd be a couple of old men near me going, oh, for God's sake! Within 30 seconds.
What's Leonardson doing with that?
What's bloody Lee Hendry doing? Get him off the pitch. And that was literally
How much was Marcus all back? 2.5 million. Waste of money.
It's genuinely, like, I don't even care if that offends anyone. That's just the way it was. Like, it was just that, like, all the time.
You definitely still get that now, but
it was unbearable. It was insufferably bad at times at Villa. But in recent years, whenever I've gone, I feel like that, I don't really hear that as much now. Maybe I'm sitting in different places, I don't know, but I don't hear it as much as I used to at all. On Thursday night, I mean, my God, it was just, the atmosphere was just off the charts. It was amazing. I thought Lille were a very good side. I think, like, you know, Emi Martinez, he rescued us from conceding two or three goals, really. I think Lille have one or two very, very high quality players. I really like their right back, Thiago Santos. I thought he was a really good player. I think he's at 21, 22, maybe Portuguese, I think. And I thought, wonder if Professor Unai Monchi might have a little look at him. Mm. But, you know, if you look at Lille as well, they've had a big old break between games. You know, their last French league game was on the 5th of April against Marseille. Then they played Villa. No more games until they play Villa again. Mm. So that's quite interesting. But I do wonder if Lille will look at what Villa did in going to Arsenal, winning 2-0, having just beaten them 2-1 at home, and wonder whether, I wonder if that's given Villa a bit of momentum, particularly for an away day. And I wouldn't be surprised if Villa go to Lille and do something similar to what we did at Ajax when we drew 0-0, very ugly, don't really give a lot of chances away. I think Lille are a better side than Ajax at the moment, and I think Lille will almost certainly create chances. And, you know, the atmosphere will be very, very, it'll be rocking there at Lille on Thursday night, won't it? And I wouldn't be surprised if they even create a little bit more trouble than Arsenal did today. Because I think with Arsenal, there's that thing of, like, they're going for the title. So you can imagine them losing, you know, the players losing a bit of confidence within themselves. It's not going their way. Whereas the Lille, it's like, there's not really a lot to lose here. So I can see them really going for it and probably causing more problems than Arsenal did today. But that said, I think Villa can absolutely cause them problems on the break, 100%. Leon Bailey, Moussa Diaby. I think Ollie Watkins had the beating of their centre-backs all day, every day. I think their centre-backs couldn't deal with Watkins at all. And even Yonder Ant. If Yonder Ant comes on,
it's
physicality against their defenders. I don't think they can deal with it. Set pieces as well. I don't think Lille were very good at that. So, like I said, I think Lille will definitely create chances. I think they'll probably score. I think the atmosphere will be a lot to deal with. But that said, I think we've demonstrated away at Ajax that we can deal with that tough atmosphere. We can, you know, deal with teams having a little bit more of the ball than we do.
Yeah.
Unai Emery's been there and done it in Europe. So we have every reason to go to Lille and, you know, I think respect them and absolutely think that they're a top team because they're a very, very good side with some really quality players who will cause us problems. But at the same time, think we've got the manager, we've got the players, we just beat Arsenal 2-0, we beat Lille 2-1 already. Why can't we go there and get the job done?
And on that positive note, thank you everybody for listening. I've been your host, George Zielinski. Frankie, get well soon. See you later.
Thank you very much. I've drunk a fair amount of famous grouse for this episode to get me through it. Not that I really needed it.
Get you through it.
I felt like I was on
much of a slog.
I felt like I was on an absolute high already after what Villa did today. But yeah. Oh, George, what a time to be a Villa fan.
What a time to be a Villa fan. And of course, other whiskies are available. Right. Up the Villa, Frankie. And of course, we will be back again soon. But until then, come on, Super Aston Villa.